So just to go back, the theme or the theme of what we're going to share together tonight is the unveiling of God. Because God is so wonderful that he wants to be known, but he cannot be known because he is spirit. And for many, of course, that means that they will never know God unless they have the ability to see or to know or to understand what spirit really is. But I'm going to tell you something right from the beginning. There's not a person on this planet that is not able to know God.
Amen.
Because the Spirit of God, the Christ, is in every man.
Yes.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So therefore, we cannot be proud just because we happen to know some of these things. But I want you to know that there is nobody on this planet that has an excuse not to know God. But you see, so many people say, but you know, I don't understand the Bible. I don't care whether you understand the Bible or not, really. I mean, it's a good thing perhaps to use sometimes, but God did not give us a book and say, read the book and you'll know all about me. But that's what the church really does believe.
That's right.
And they think they understand the book, therefore they understand God, and that's where your problem is. Because I'll tell you, this is a book, and it's been written in a language. And if you know anything about linguistics, language is very important. But it's important for the people who understand that particular language. In my ministry, I have people in quite a number of countries today who are translating my books into their language, which is helping tremendously the ministry to get out, you see. And sometimes somebody says, oh, I can do that, you know. So somebody I was asking, was there anybody that could translate the books into French, because I've had some French people ask me, do you have your books in French? I said, no, I don't, but we'll see. Well, so one person rang and said, I'd gladly do that for you. I said, well, go ahead, brother. Well, he did one, and I gave it to somebody who was a French student, and they said, well, I don't know who this guy is, but that's not what the Bible says. You see, linguistics is an interesting thing. Because if you want to translate something that, say, I say, then you have to understand exactly what I am saying. And if I'm speaking in your language, generally speaking, that will be so, that you will understand what I am saying. And it is not simply the words.
Right.
It's the thought behind the words.
Yeah.
As those words come out, that's what you hear. And that's what a foreign person doesn't hear. And a foreign person that's not used to our English language, they struggle then to know exactly what you are talking about. Well, there was a man in South Africa, and I've never ministered in South Africa, but he had been on my website and he'd been reading, and he got so excited with this message. He's got a whole bunch of people so excited. I'm actually going there to minister on my way home before I go to Australia.
Praise the Lord.
I mean, this is amazing. I've never been there, but they've got the message. So I said to him, he said to me, he said, I've already started to translate your books. Well, I said, well, listen, brother, slow down a little bit. You know, I said, you really have to know this message. You have to know the thoughts that are behind it. In other words, you basically need to understand my heart and to hear my heart in what I'm saying, not just take an English word or take an English word and transfer it into African language. He said, well, I'll tell you, brother. He said, my wife could not get a hold of this message. He said, I tried and I tried and I tried. He said, others could get the message, but not my wife. She couldn't get it. So he said, okay, I'll translate it into our language. He said, I gave her the book, and he said, in 2 days, she said, I've got it. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, amen.
I said, go ahead, brother, do the rest. So this is important. And that's why tonight, I don't want you to superimpose this message over some other concepts that you have. Hear what God is saying with a purity tonight. I don't mean to say that what you've heard before is all wrong. I'm not saying that. But hear what God is saying right now to you, because that's the important thing. Not what he said yesterday so much as what he's saying today, because that will build. Today will build on whatever you knew before, if you will allow him. So the manifestation or the revealing of God is a very important thing for us to know. How does this work? So God is spirit, and because God is spirit, he's invisible to our natural eyes. I said to you before, there are two worlds. Let me explain to you what I'm saying. You see, you were created for one world. And that world was the world of spirit. Why? Because you were created spirit. That's in Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man. And there's the man. That was a spiritual reproduction. And he brought us into this world. If you want a scripture, it's in James chapter 1 and verse 18, where it says, and the Lord and God of his own self, he begat us. He begat us. That we should be a kind of first fruits. And that's an interesting word.
Yes.
It's the same word as in the beginning, Genesis 1, verse 1. The word beginning is really the word first fruits in the Hebrew language. Because the first fruits, when Israel had planted their crops, corn or barley or wheat or whatever it was, God said to them, I want you to go out there before the harvest is really ready, but nearly, and you will see many stalks on the plants that have already become mature. The seed has become mature. And he said, I want you to go out and pick just a little bunch of them with the grain already complete. Bring them into the temple and wave them before the Lord.
Yes.
And he said to Israel, he said, when you do this, he said, I'll tell you what it means. You see the grain on this little bunch of stalks that we've got here? They are perfect. The seed is perfect. And the law that this is the rule, if you like, that God declares to be his word. And he says, whatever these grains of seed are, whatever they are, and their maturity and completeness and perfectness, that is what the entire harvest is going to be. And that's the first fruit. And let me tell you that the first fruit was Christ.
Yes.
The first man God created. The first man, Genesis 1:26, he was the first fruit. Why? Well, because God intended that this world, this earth, be filled with people. But not just people. I mean, we had five children, you know, my wife and I, we had five children. We got a whole bunch of grandchildren, another great bunch of great-grandchildren, all coming, you know, and all of these things. But see, many, many of children today, many children even of pastors and Christians, their children are on drugs and they're involved in all kinds of things. Is that what God intended? I don't think so. He intended that all of mankind on this planet should be as that first man, who was Christ. That's what God intended. And according to the law of first fruits, what does that mean? If Christ is the first fruits, the whole harvest of this entire world and planet is going to one day be as that Christ.
Yes.
That's what they're going to be. Can you understand that?
Yes.
Yes.
What are you going to do with your murderers now? What are you going to do with those people that have done some terrible, terrible things? We wiped them out and said, well, forget about them. God's got nothing to do with them. I want to tell you, God has something to do with every person that's ever been born.
Right on.
God is interested, not just interested. God has already decreed, if you like, that what that first man was, and still is today, is what every man on this planet is going to be.
Amen.
So the revelation of God is an incredible thing. But of course, you see, I'm cutting right across religion now. The whole concept of religion is that everybody on this planet is born a sinner. That's what the church will teach you. It's a lie. But of course, it's been taught for 2,000 years and by so many preachers that everybody thinks it's got to be true. See, they say that Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden and he's the head of the whole human race. Therefore, he took the whole human race into death. Well, he took them into death. But you see, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He swallowed up death.
That's right.
Who for? For the world.
That's right.
God was in Christ reconciling what?
The world.
The world unto himself. The world.
Amen.
Not the people in church, the world.
Yes.
Now some of you are just looking at me, okay, let me go a little further. Then, if this is true, it's important for us to understand this. And that's why I take time to answer questions that I know are in the heart of people, because I was a pastor in the churches. I know what was taught because I used to teach it. But I want you to know the truth today. Adam never sinned.
Amen.
So you can look at Timothy, the Epistle of Timothy, Epistle to Timothy. Epistle to Timothy. First Epistle of Timothy, chapter 1. Chapter 2, sorry. Chapter 2.
Chapter what? 3?
First Epistle of Timothy, chapter 2. And verse 13. Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety, Adam was not deceived. Where's the other one? Somebody help me. Is it in chapter, is it in my second book? In my second book. Second verse, all right. Oh, Lord, help me. Adam was not deceived. Where's the one that says Adam did not sin?
You got the book in the
skin. I've lost it anyway. Okay. You can find it somewhere.
Okay.
Anyway, let's just take what's written here. It says Adam was not deceived. It was the woman that was deceived, not Adam. All right, now let me tell you. This is how it worked. When the woman was brought to the man, he said, "You are bone of my bones, you are flesh of my flesh, so I'm going to call you woman." God never called her woman. That was Adam. He called her woman. I want you to know that Adam was Christ. He was not just a man, he was Christ. Why? Because he came out of Christ Jesus. He was the first man God created. He was spirit. And in chapter 1 of Genesis, verse 28, he says to that one man that he created, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." And he did. And in Genesis 2, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God," who is Christ Jesus, "he begins by forming a body out of the dust of the earth." I want you to know your body is not you. Your body is not you. Your body is not you. It's your house, the house that you live in.
Amen.
That's all your body is. It's the house you live in.
That's right.
So he formed this body because Christ Jesus knew what God would require on this earth. That if God ever was to find an expression on this earth, it would be through a body.
That's right.
But instead of the Father giving the Christ a body, he said, "No, I want you to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." He formed the body, and what did he do? Give it a blood transfusion?
No.
There's no blood involved here.
Right.
He breathed into the nostrils of that man the breath of life, which is the same life that he received from the Father.
Amen.
There's Christ, but he's got a body now. But the body doesn't make him any different, because he is not a body. He is Christ, which is in the body. Mm-hmm. And it is in that body that mm-hmm. Jesus Christ walked and talked with God in the garden. Mm-hmm. We don't know how many years, hundreds, thousands, millions, we don't know. We read the Bible like it was just a couple of days, and things went wrong and he was put out of the garden. We do not know how long he was walking in that garden in fellowship with God. But all I do know is this, that he walked with God in total fellowship.
That's right.
Based upon one thing, love. That was the only rule of the Garden of Eden, love. And God loved Adam, and Adam loved God. Until a woman comes on the scene. And I can tell you that I did quite a deal of searching through the scriptures, particularly in the Hebrew, to find out where did this woman word come from. And I don't know, I'm not saying that this is, you know, this is something beyond everybody else, and I'm the only one that knows. But the result from that search was that the woman became a test.
Yeah.
What for? For the man.
That's it.
Because he walked with God in total fellowship for we don't know how long, you see. So, how would God know if Adam really loved him? Are you following me? There's not another person there in the garden. Nobody. We're talking about before the woman came on the scene. There was nobody else. Only God and Adam. And he walked with him in total fellowship every day. They walked and talked together, and they were in perfect harmony. How would God know if Adam really loved him? Because there was no alternative until the woman came.
Yes.
You hear this? Adam.
Yes.
I'm not majoring on this, the fact that she's a test. I'm not majoring on it. I'm just saying that's what I felt Father was trying to tell me. So, when the woman comes on the scene, he says, you're bone of my bones, you're flesh of my flesh. I'm going to call you woman because you were taken out of the man. Well, first of all, this happened because Adam was under a deep sleep. He was unconscious. And what happened while he's unconscious was totally hidden from him. Because if you're unconscious, you don't know anything that's going on. If you've ever been under anesthetic, you know what happens. You know, for a little while, you start to see all sorts of funny things, and then all of a sudden, it's like, it's blank. You're not there. And then the doctor does whatever he wants to do to your body, and then they bring you out and they give you a little pat on the cheek and say, come on, come on, come on, you know, wake up, wake up. And you come back into your consciousness again. But I want to tell you something. Adam never woke up. He never woke up. Why? Because he said that that woman was the same bones as who?
Mm-hmm.
And the flesh of that woman was the same flesh that he's got. The word flesh is not used prior to that in the scriptures. That's the first time the word was used. And he made himself equal with the woman. Well, be that as it may, the next thing you will discover, if you read it carefully, you will find that the woman never even had a conversation with Adam. She never talked to him. He never said anything to her. She goes straight into the garden on her own. She's going to carve her own life's journey. She's going to sort of find her own way through life on her own. And as soon as she's in the garden there's a talking snake. A serpent, which of course, according to the analogy, is the carnal mind. the natural mind, the mind that has been infiltrated by the serpent, if you like. And the result was that she believed the word of the serpent and took the fruit of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Did you know that death entered into this world not by some disease that happened to spring up suddenly somewhere or some sickness? Death entered into this world through a knowledge. You need to get a hold of that.
Yes.
That is very important.
Yes.
Death came into this world through a knowledge. What did God say? The day you eat the fruit of that tree, you will die. And you know why we all die? Because we have all eaten the fruit of that tree.
That's it.
The tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
That's right.
Every person that I've ever met believes in good and evil.
Yep.
Christian, every one of them, they believe in good and evil. And what did God say? The day you eat that fruit. Eating the fruit was simply to take what the tree represented, because in the fruit of all trees, God put a seed. Isn't that good? That's why God only had to plant one mango tree, but look how many there are now. He had to have put one of your
palm trees.
Yeah, one of your palm trees. He only had to plant one, and see, he put a seed in all of these plants. And they have multiplied on this earth. So that seed that you took when you ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is a parabolic concept, or a parable, if you like. We've all eaten it. Therefore, what has happened? We now see God as being good and evil. Is God good and evil?
No.
In Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, it says, and God looked upon all that he had created, and behold, it was
good.
Very
good.
That's what he said.
That's it.
Well, where's the evil?
It wasn't there.
If God did not create evil, there is no evil.
That's right.
Unless you can tell me there's another creator out there somewhere.
Right.
And yet religion all over the world for 2,000 years have been preaching that God is good, but boy, don't get on the wrong side of God, because he's building a fire out there and he's going to burn you forever and ever. I don't think that's too good.
He's mad. Yes.
I'm not trying to be funny here, and I'm not trying to prove a point just because I think that's what I believe.
Yeah.
I know the truth.
Yes.
Because that truth has set me free.
Yes.
And if it sets me free, it can set you free.
That's right.
Yes. That's it.
When I understood this,
yes,
that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that good and evil cannot possibly be the reality, because God is good. That's all. Full stop. God is not evil.
That's right.
We blame God for all the things that happen. It's a car accident. Somebody says, well, why didn't God stop those cars from crashing together? I've got a relative who says this to me. And when you can tell me why God allows all these bad things to happen, and wars and people being killed, and then these typhoons, hurricanes, well, I don't know what you call them here, come and wipe out a whole bunch of people. When you can tell me that God is good and he lets all that happen, I said, well, it's a bit hard to kind of get you to understand that because you've already got your mind made up. And that's the truth. He doesn't want anybody to answer that. In any case, it's not something that we can easily answer. There are many questions that I cannot answer, but then I'm not God. And if you don't think God is a little bigger than Des Wilder, you don't even know who he is. And I just don't mean that he's bigger than me. I mean God is God, creator of the heavens and the earth.
Yes.
He was the one that put the stars up there. He was the one that put the sun and the moon up there. Listen, we're living on a mud ball. Look, it's about round like this, and it's revolving like this. And here we are in the States, we're up at the top of this ball, see? But Australia, when I go home, I'm walking on my head down there because we're down underneath here. How does God do it? Come on.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, I'm not trying to be silly. I'm just trying to help you to see that there is a reality about this. That a God who could create out of nothing, no, out of himself.
That's right.
God did not create the heavens and the earth out of nothing. Because if he created out of nothing, he can go back to nothing. Everything came out of him, including the dust.
Yes, right.
And if your body is dust,
amen.
That dust amen. Came out of Christ who was here
yes.
in the beginning.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, help us.
Yes.
You see, it's so important for us to grasp these things. So God is not good and evil. He is good only. Evil is a concept of the human mind.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
The carnal mind is the only thing that can isolate something and say, that's evil.
That's right.
And from our point of view, just as human people, we're probably right. I think it's terrible, that thing happening like that. I was watching on television what happened there in that big
tornado. Tornado.
Yeah, whatever you call it, hurricane. Yeah. Went through, who was it?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I was watching that on television. I watched a house not just being knocked over, it was shredded. I doubt if you could have found a piece of timber that long in the junk that was left. But did God do that? Oh, come on. Now I'm going to show you something. Are you ready for this?
Amen.
Turn back to Genesis chapter 1 with me. Because I want to show you something. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, where are you? Verse 26. You know it fairly well by now. I quote it often enough. But here it is. And God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let this man and all those that would follow have dominion.
Right.
Have dominion. You know what that means? That means to rule.
That's right.
Over what? Let's see what it says. We have been given dominion over the fish of the sea. Well, I've done a lot of fishing, and I tell you, I didn't have too much power over the fish of the sea or dominion. I often tried. I kept telling the Lord, you know, you created me so I could have dominion over these little critters down there. They just didn't give me the slip. And over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle. But listen to this, over all the earth.
Yes.
And that means If it's over all the earth, it means all of the
works of his hands.
Weather situations,
yes.
All of the winds and all of the your heat out here. How do you people live in this place? Oh Lord. I need a lot more grace than what he's given me now to live here, I think. Oh, we don't have anything like that where I live in Australia. But you see, we were given dominion over all the earth. We have not taken that dominion.
That's right.
We're not functioning in that dominion.
That's right.
Yes.
Why?
Because
the church has forgotten to preach the gospel that Jesus came to bring.
That's right.
What was the gospel that Jesus Christ came to give to the world?
The gospel of the kingdom.
He said, the kingdom of God is come.
That's it.
Why? How did the kingdom of God come? The king came 2,000 years ago. The king, Jesus Christ. Where is he? He's in here. Jesus Christ lives in here? You mean to say that same Jesus Christ that lived on this earth 2,000 years ago? The man that could just touch a blind eyes and make them to see. I mean, the man that could just take, you know, stand outside a grave and say, Lazarus, you've been dead 4 days, that's enough, you slept all the day at that time. Come on out. And Lazarus just walks out the tomb.
Amen.
You mean to say that man lives in me? Oh, God, help us.
Yes, yes, yes.
Help us, Lord. I mean me, he lives in every one of you. I don't mean just that I've got Christ in me. You've got Christ, you've got Christ,
yes,
you've
amen.
Got Christ,
amen.
Every one of you. Amen. You've all got Christ in you. And that Christ could do anything.
Yes.
What did Jesus Christ say when he came? He said to the disciples, I want you to go out and preach the gospel of the kingdom. And what was it?
Heal
the sick.
That's it.
You can read it in the early chapters of Genesis, of Matthew there.
Yeah.
You can read it. That's exactly what Jesus said.
Yes.
And when the disciples came back, they said, Lord, do you know what? Even the spirits are subject to
yes.
us. Oh, God, help
praise
us.
God.
And you know why Oklahoma has had that thing going through there and nobody stopped it? Because we have not yet set up the kingdom.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
We haven't even begun to set up the kingdom. Why? What's the first thing you do? It's the king in here.
That's it.
And when the king comes in here, he is in control.
Yes.
Of your life.
Yes.
From A to Z.
Glory.
Absolutely.
Glory. Yes.
And Jesus actually said to the people of his day, the kingdom is already here.
Yes.
What did he mean? Christ is already in you. And when we understand the Christ in us and put that together with the dominion that God has given to us, brother, Oklahoma will be as safe as any city in the rest of the world.
That's it.
Because we'll stop.
Yes.
One day Jesus Christ was in a boat with the disciples.
Yes.
And it says a great storm came up, you see.
Yeah.
And I know about this. I've done a bit of boating and I did some fishing there for our shrimps, as you call them, shrimp. Out in the ocean in a 40-foot boat and so on. And I've been out there with some heavy weather. The thing going up and down, and you know. Well, I'm telling you. Jesus was in this boat, you see.
Yes.
But he's asleep in the back of the boat.
Yes.
And the disciples they're all having a heart attack there. They're saying, let's do something. What are we going to do here? Because, see, the water was coming into the boat. It's
yes.
okay with the boat in the water, but when the water comes in the boat, you've got a problem. And this is what they had. And so they are screaming, what are we going to do? Where's Jesus? See, you can't find him when you want him. Where was he?
Asleep.
He was asleep. You know why he was asleep? Because those disciples didn't need him until the storm came.
Yes. That's it.
Isn't that the truth?
That's the truth.
They didn't need him until the storm came. And that's what we do.
That's right.
We go until the doctor says, look, I could be wrong, but I think you might have cancer, you know. Oh, God, help me, help me.
Yes. Yes.
You see, he's been asleep for who knows how long, but suddenly you want to wake him up. Beloved, the kingdom of God begins in us.
That's right.
Not building out there.
Yes.
It's in here.
Yes.
And until we become under the authority of the King,
Amen.
Jesus Christ, it takes precedence over all of our own thinking, all the crazy things that we want to do, and the things we'd like to do. And we don't even bother asking Father whether he wants us to do it or something. You see?
Yes.
Then, when something like that that happened in Oklahoma there, somebody, well, one of you folks, because I might not be living there. And, you know, well, I don't live in the United States, you see. But any one of you folks can stand up there and just put up your hand and say,
that's right.
Yes, amen.
Just lay down. Just lay down. And it will.
That's yes, right. It will.
That's all good.
So don't you blame God for all of the problems that we have. What about the floods? Yeah, same thing. We can take control over that too.
That's right.
And what about the droughts? We can take control. We have control over this earth.
Yes.
And it's vested in the King.
Yes.
Who is in us, and we are not allowing him to do what he wants to do.
Amen.
Come on.
Yes.
Can you imagine what this earth would be like if every person, and Christ is in every person, if every person became an expression of that Christ?
Amen.
This world would be a totally different world.
Yes.
Amen.
There would be no wars. There would be no murders. There would be no crazy people doing stupid things. There wouldn't be any.
Praise God.
But we blame God. I was at a funeral once with a lad, a lovely lad, about 14 years of age, doctor of school, a beautiful boy, so clever. And he just happens to jump out onto a main road, cars and up and down, and a car just took him. Well, I went to the funeral, and the pastor that was delivering the message for the funeral, he said, God took him. And I wanted to scream. Why are you blaming God for this?
God killed him.
I mean, that boy, he had lived in that area for so long, he knew what that road was. And I'm not trying to blame anybody. I'm just saying that was an accident. But don't blame God for it. God took him. God doesn't take people. God doesn't cause death. We cause the death because we ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you can get rid of that,
amen.
Then you'll find your death is going to disappear too.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yeah. Oh, God, help us.
Yes, 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 yes.
Where are we? So let's go a little further. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 26, we find God here revealed in yet another way. Or, if you like, under another title. When I hear people pray, and they're praying to God, I know that they don't know him. The word G-O-D does not mean anything. It's one of those words that anybody can use, but it means only what that person puts upon it. Whatever meaning they put upon it, that's what G-O-D means.
That's right.
And for some people, of course, they think that he's a pretty nasty character, you know?
Yes.
Because he, you know, if you don't do what he wants, if you don't repent and so on, then he's going to get you. And all of these things. But see, it says here in verse 26, Acts 17, and God hath made of one blood all the nations on the earth to dwell. What does it mean that he's made all the nations on the earth from one blood? One Father.
Amen.
One Father. When Jesus was helping the disciples, because they said, Lord, teach us to pray, he said, I'll tell you what, this is not something I want you to repeat every morning when you get out of bed, but this will help you to understand how prayer functions. First of all, you begin by expressing your relationship with God. You realize that? That's how you should begin your prayer. Our Father.
Amen.
Father is a word of relationship.
Yes. Yes.
Everybody understands that.
Yes.
Everybody has had a father on this earth. They might not have been a good father, but they had a father. And if they had a good father, they will understand a little bit about how God functions.
Yeah.
Because I know with my children, I wouldn't have let anything happen to any one of them. See, when they start to get into their teenage years, you can't kind of keep touch on them all the time. Then they're out, you know. They can look after themselves, they think. But my family always came back to Father. And now we've just had our 60th wedding anniversary, and our family came together. It was the most glorious time we had, and many, many of the in-laws and outlaws. Well, I don't think we got any outlaws, but we don't have in-laws anyway. And here they all came together. We had a wonderful time. I couldn't travel like I do here today. I leave my wife back home without any assistance.
Amen.
But we've got three daughters. And any one of those three daughters would gladly have my wife stay with them in their own home. They'll look after her. Anything she wants, they'll get her. That's the family.
Amen.
Because if the father raises the family correctly, and the father is responsible.
Yes.
And beloved, I want to tell you, as Christian parents, generally speaking, we haven't done a very good job.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
Because even Christian parents, I've had pastors ask me to pray for their children. And I said, why do you want me to pray for your children? That's your job. Look at what Abraham did.
Yes.
Abraham, he actually prophesied over all of his children before he died. Tell them exactly what God was going to do in their lives and so on.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, help us.
Yes.
God is a father.
Yes.
Yes.
And you might not have had a good father. And I have counseled with so many people who have had problems, and particularly some of the girls have had some real bad problems with their father. And I want to tell you, your Heavenly Father loves you with an eternal life.
Yes.
And he would never hurt you, and has never hurt you, and never will hurt you.
Amen.
And when you find out how wonderful your Father is, you'll understand how in Psalm 103, where it says that he puts you on his knee, and he just loves you. I want to tell you who you are today.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Amen.
I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you've got them. I want you to follow me in this, because I'm going to read it, but I want you to look in your book. This is in the book of Proverbs, chapter 8.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
This is important for us to understand. These are the things that I major on because they are the necessity of our day. I believe that we have forgotten who we are. And most people only can believe and understand that our life began when we were born on this earth. I want to tell you, you were on. You had an existence a long time
before. Yes, yes.
And if you will listen carefully, you're going to hear exactly, because I'm going to read this in the personal sense.
Yes.
It says here, chapter 8 and verse 22, we start.
Okay.
Listen now. The Lord possessed you in the beginning of his ways. How old is God? He's eternal.
Yes.
But you were possessed by God in the beginning of his ways. I don't know how many million years that was ago.
Yes.
There's no beginning at all. But he possessed you in the beginning of his ways. And it says here, you were set up from everlasting.
Yes.
Oh God. From the beginning, before ever the earth was. Are you listening?
Yes.
It's you he's talking about here.
Yes.
This is you. It says, when there was no depths, you were brought forth. And when there was no fountains abounding with water, and even before the mountains were settled, before the hills, you were brought forth. Before all of those things have been created. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the mountains, when he prepared the heavens, you were there. You mean to say that when God put those stars up there, he says, yes, now I want a few more up there. We just saw a few more up there. We want a little bit more light there. You were there.
Yes.
You were watching. You were with your father, watching him, putting the sun, the moon up in the sky. He said to Job, where were you when I put the stars there? He said, you should know, you were there.
Yes.
Oh, God, help us.
Amen.
You see, there's a reality about God in our lives personally. And that's why I like to preach on these things, because this is where the rubber meets the road. I mean, this is where life really has to start for us. Wait a minute, there's a bit more here. It says here, when he established the clouds above, and when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, and when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, and when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then were you right by him as a child being raised by him. Oh, Lord.
Oh, beautiful.
I know that we have no conscious remembrance of that. But it's here. It's here. We are eternal beings.
Yes.
We are not just here for 70 years. Well, my use by date file has gone a long time ago. But see, it doesn't make any difference. Why? Because we are eternal creatures. And from since 2,000 years ago, death. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about death, you know. When you get to my age, you're supposed to be in your rocking chair just watching the grass grow. Well, I'm not, and I'm still traveling the world. Doesn't matter to me. Age is only a number. That's all it is. And I have made no concept. I'm not interested in dying or death anyway.
Amen.
I want to live forever.
Amen.
That is my heart desire.
That's it.
And I've had people say to me, older people, brother, if you've been as sick as I've been all these years, you wouldn't want to live any longer. You'd want to go to heaven. I said, well, I've got you one there, because I'm already in.
Amen.
Come on, this is reality.
Yes, amen.
Where is heaven anyway?
Yes.
Heaven is where God is.
Yes.
And where is God? He's in here.
Yes. Yes.
This is heaven. And if you're not in heaven, you really haven't gotten the truth down far enough.
Yes.
It's still up in here.
Amen.
It's got to get down into here.
Yeah.
Into the spirit or the mind of the Christ.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because that's where it has to be. We've got to live out of the mind of the Christ.
Yes.
That's it.
Who thought it not a thing to be grasped at, to be equal with God.
Yes.
You mean to tell me that you are equal with God? Yes, sir, I am. I'm equal with God.
Amen.
Why? Because Christ lives in me.
That's right.
Who is he? He said, I and my Father are one.
Mm-hmm.
And he dwells in me. God is in me.
That's right.
Come on, this is reality.
Yes.
Are you hearing this?
Yes. Yes.
Beloved, these are the things that you should spend your time when you want to do a little musing in the Lord. And you want to just, you know, try and let the Spirit just bring some things to you. These are the things where you could find out who you really are.
That's right.
And just glory in the goodness of God.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, well, it says here, then you were like a child brought up by him, and you were daily his delight, rejoicing always in him. That's the truth. That was one of the little passages of scripture that set me free, or helped to set me free, if you like.
Yes.
Because, you see, if your life only began from your mother's womb, you will never truly understand God. Why? Because you think, well, you're born a sinner, and you've got to become a Christian somehow, give your heart to Jesus, or do whatever the church has told you to do, none of which has changed much, because there are people from the church in prison today. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not mad at the church. I'm not saying they're all wicked and terrible. I'm saying we've got to go on in God to discover the reality. How can God have an expression on this earth, except it's through you. It's through you. It's through you. It's through you. That's the only way. There's no other way that God can find an expression on this earth. No wonder there's not a lot of people that seem to really know God. Why? Because they look at other many, many people, and you can look at many people and wonder, if that's what God's like, I don't want to be like that.
Yeah,
I don't want to be like God at all. But see, this is the problem. But there's an expression of God that is to come. And so, it says in verse 10 of chapter 9 of Proverbs, just while you look open there, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
The fear of the Lord. Now, that's not being frightened of God. That's not what it means. The fear of the Lord is to give him his rightful place in us, which is that he is. He's God, maker of heaven and earth. But he is my Father. He's my Father. You got this? God is my Father.
Amen.
Would he kill me? Oh, come on. A man on this earth might. If he got mad enough, he might, because there are people doing that all the time. But see, God loves us. And his love is absolutely perfect. So don't think God's going to put cancer on you or something. And I've had people say, would you pray for me, brother? You know, I did something. You know, I'm not going to tell you what it was, but I did something. Because of that, you know, I've got this problem.
Yeah.
I tell them, you got it all wrong. God never put that thing on you, whatever it is. God is not the author of sickness. He's not the author of pain. And he is certainly not the author of death. So today, if Christ is to become known in this world, if God is to have an expression on this earth, then Christ in you is the only hope of glory. Christ in you.
Yes.
And if the Christ in you has no expression of who he really is through your body, now I'm just going to tell you how it works. Listen, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. The Apostle Paul says to us, don't you know that your body is the temple of God? Now, if you had been in Israel years and years and years ago, when Israel was functioning under the priesthood, and you'd ask any one of those Jews, where is God? They would have pointed over there to their tabernacle. Because in the end of that tabernacle was the most holy place. And there was a veil across there so that nobody could go in there. Now that veil was not a concrete wall, it was a curtain. And you realize that that curtain, even a child could have walked to the end of that and just pulled it back a little bit and walked in. Why didn't Israel walk in there? Because they were scared of God. Because they didn't really understand. I mean, you know, Israel walked for 40 years out in that wilderness there. And when they started, they said, Moses, you brought us out here to die. But you know, there's no bread out here. What in the world are we going to do? How are you going to feed us? God said, you just tell them it's okay. Because I'm going to give them the bread from heaven. It'll be there every morning. And you'll be able to get up and just pick a vessel full. This will be your bread. It's the bread from heaven. And you know that that bread from heaven kept them healthy for 40 years. Lord help us. And then they said, but okay, well, if we're going to get some food, that'd be okay. Now, what about water? I mean, we're in the desert here. There is no water out here at all. And God said, Moses, you see that rock down there? I just want you to talk to that rock.
Yes.
And you'll have all the water you want. And for 40 years, they carried that rock with them all over the wilderness as they went around in big circles. For 40 years, water ran out of that rock. Are you hearing this?
Amen.
You think God's just sitting up there in some ethereal heaven, you know, that's what a lot of Christians think. It's up there above the stars somewhere, and he's just up there on some big throne. Have you ever seen God? Have you ever seen God? Okay, wonderful. Well, I want to tell you, Isaiah one day, in chapter 6, suddenly he saw the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Where did he see him? In the temple? In Jerusalem? No. He saw the Lord in here.
Yeah.
And it says that, you know, in the same year in which Isaiah died, he said, I saw the Lord. And here is this Lord. He's looking in the mirror. Ina, what do you see in the mirror when you look?
Hallelujah.
Well, you get frightened like me, probably, some of you. Well, God says you're wonderful anyway, so it doesn't make a difference. But listen to me. When you look into the mirror, which is the face of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
and that's the only mirror that will show you the truth, and you look in the face of Jesus Christ, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see Christ.
Glory.
You're going to see Christ.
Right.
In you.
Yes.
And what did it say? What did Isaiah say? I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. This is the authority that runs the earth, runs the world. But he's in you.
That's it.
He's in you. You.
Amen.
So we've got floods. We've got hurricanes. We've got awful storms. We've got droughts. We've got disease. We've got all kinds of rubbish going on down here. And people are being hurt. They're in pain. They're suffering. And they are dying. Why? Because there's a Christ in you. There's a Christ in you. And he has not yet had the ability to demonstrate himself.
Glory.
And there's a Christ in me who also has not been able to fully yet demonstrate himself.
Amen.
That's right.
You see? So I'm not just preaching at you. I'm saying to you, I want to live on and on. Why? Because 2,000 years ago, there was the Christ living on this earth. And walking down the road, he sees a man with a withered arm, and he just says to him, stretch out your arm, and his arm shoots out, and Jesus just keeps on walking. And there's a lame man down there, so he says to him, give me your hand, and rise up and walk, and he gets up and he can walk, and Jesus just keeps on walking. And there's a blind man down there, and he touches his eyes, and he can see, and Jesus keeps on walking. Are you hearing this?
Amen.
That's what he did. But he's walking in you and he's walking in me today.
Yes.
What's he doing?
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
I'm not preaching at you. This is me too.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. Yes.
And that's why I want to live. I do not want to die because I want to express that Christ on this earth.
Yes.
That's the truth. And I'll not be satisfied until I can do it.
Yes.
I have seen all the miracles of Jesus in my ministry, but not like Jesus did it. I've just seen one here and one there, one in that country, and that, you know. But enough to know that this Christ can do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I tell you.
Yes.
There's a lot of hurting people in this world.
Yes.
Lot of hurting people. We've just been up, I've been up there with Gene up there in Pine Thompson. Oh my, hurting people.
Yes.
People with no hope, no hope.
Yeah.
A young lady that's got a disease, and she tells me, there's no cure for it. The doctors told me they can't cure this. So they just give you some stuff to help you to do the pain and so on. And just wait for you to die. See, that's no way to live. That's all you do? Just sit and wait to die? Well, what else do you do when you've got an incurable disease? Well, I had to teach you a little bit about hope. How hope can change the body.
Yes.
And be careful what you say.
Yes.
Yes.
Because what you say
is
what you
is going to bite you if you're not careful.
That's it.
So today, beloved, I want this. I didn't want this to be some deep spiritual thing that you couldn't understand. I wanted this to be light enough so that you would understand what we are talking about, and that every one of you, you women, have just as much
yes.
the ability to manifest the Christ as us men.
Amen.
I want you to understand this, that in God's estimation, we are all the woman.
That's it.
You thought I was going to say all men, didn't you? We're all the woman.
That's right.
Because God is spirit.
Yes.
And the only way we can be one with him is to fill the vacancy. Because you see, in creation, way back down there, just after creation, the Lord God said to Adam, it's not good for the man to be alone. I'm going to make a helpmeet for him. Adam didn't need a helpmeet. What did he need? He needed nothing. He's walking with God every day, talking with God. He's there just running the universe with God. But see, what are we going to do? If Christ dwells in us, and he is the king of the kingdom of this earth, and he's in here, first of all, we've got to make him to become our king. We've got to put him on the throne of our life.
Yes.
In the book of Revelation, Revelation, in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 4, Jesus Christ says, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. I'm sorry, that's chapter 3, verse 20. He said, I'm standing at the door and knocking. Now, unfortunately, all the pictures that have ever been drawn, and I've seen a lot of them, I've seen texts on the wall, and Jesus Christ standing outside this house, and he's going to knock. Christ is already in you. He's not on the outside knocking, trying to get in. He's on the inside knocking, say, I'm here. But I can't do anything until you will allow me
yes.
to take charge.
That's right.
And then you and I together will take and make this world to become what it was meant to be by your heavenly Father.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord.
That's it.
That's the truth. That is the truth. So
awesome.
Today, I want God to bless you. I really do. And in blessing you, I want you to understand your responsibility to the Father. My children would do anything for their mother and their father. My children would do anything. If we had a specific need, they would come to us and help us somehow. Why? Because there's a love relationship. How much do you love the Lord? How much do you love your Heavenly Father? Who wants to be known? He's the most amazing Father that this world could ever know. And we are the only means by which he can manifest himself. Your body is the temple of God. Listen, your body does not belong. The feminist movement said and boasted, this body belongs to me, I can do anything I want with this body, it's my body and nobody's going to tell me what I can do with it. Your body belongs to the Father. Your body. You didn't make it, he made it. He put it together in your mother's womb. He's the one that put life in it. He put the Christ inside this body. So I don't care whether you're 6 foot tall or just 5 foot nothing like me. It doesn't make any difference. because I want to tell you, God can do with you anything he wants to do. And there is not an issue on the earth today that cannot be solved by a man or a woman who is so committed to the Christ and allowing the Christ to use your body to become the expression of himself.
Yes, yes.
These hands must become the hands of the Christ.
Yes.
This voice must become the voice of the Christ of God. These feet must be the feet to carry the Christ of God wherever he needs to be.
Yes.
And all that is within me must worship the Lord and say, I'm available, Father.
Yes.
Whatever you want me to do, whatever you want to do, that you can use me. And I don't care whether it's somebody dying of cancer or whether it's some situation in the world. We could stop the wars. You understand this? We could stop the wars. And God knows there's more to come yet. We're not over with our wars yet. There's a lot more to come yet. But God can't do it unless you and I become the vessels through which he can reveal himself. May God bless you today. I want you to be encouraged. I don't want you to go home sad and so, you know, I feel so bad. Feel bad if you want to, but only feel bad because you haven't become what God says you to be. But instead of feeling bad, I want you to say, God, today I'm just offering myself.
Yes.
Like the Apostle Paul, I'm going to surrender my body to you as a living sacrifice.
Yes.
Holy, acceptable unto the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And if you will do that today, you're going to start to see some wonderful things.
Amen.
And you will understand why God put you on this earth.
Yes.
We're not here just to make it look beautiful. And I'm in a castell on that one, but still, God is in you. Christ is in you. And without you, God has no expression.
That's right.
Of this earth.
That's right.
May God bless you.